go suck a fat one.
I have an addiction to smut. I'm right-handed, but my ball sack is left-sided. Get the B-Man a double cheeseburger. Take the tip and shut up. Hello, Internet, and welcome to episode 86 of Verbal Graffiti with your host, Brian Glass, a.k.a. the B-Man, the People's Degenerate. Episode 86, it is December, therefore I have a Christmas decoration on the table. This comes courtesy of my Aunt Margaret, who makes everyone in the Glass family an arts and crafts Christmas decoration for our present each year. So thank you for this present, Margaret, from years ago. It's one of my favorite. It's a snowman that's skiing. The B-Man, I've never been skiing in my life. I used to sprain my ankle playing basketball, so I never fucked around with skiing. And also, there's another rant. I never understood why babes are attracted to skiers and skateboarders. In my school, when I was younger, middle school, all the babes, the teenagers, they had the hots. They had the tingles for all these boys who would skateboard. I never understood it because all skateboarding is having balance. So why would babes be attracted to balance? It seems like such a inconsequential thing. That's why women are an enigma to me, and maybe to many of you too. So I'm moving along. I also did change the backdrop of Verbal Graffiti. I put some of the newspapers towards the middle of the backdrop. The newspaper material does not get a reflection off of it like the erotic literature novel covers that I have. So what I did is I put the covers on the outskirts, the newspapers in the middle where the light comes down. So hopefully you'll be able to see everything without a glare. That's been bothering me for 84 episodes. Call me a procrastinator. Yes, that's what I am. My brother once had a poster on our wall when we shared bunk beds called The Procrastinator's Creed, and it had 10 creeds for us procrastinators, and I took it to heart. I read it every night. While he was reading Bible verses, I was reading how to become a procrastinator, and I am successful at that. But moving along, this is December, which means Jesus is the reason for the season, which is Christmas season. Yet it is also, December is DUI season, and not all DUIs are equal. If you get a DUI Tuesday morning, 11 a.m., that has much more weight to it than a Saturday night, 2 a.m. DUI. A Saturday night, we know why you're getting the DUI. You're out with the boys. Maybe you're out with the gals. You were partying a little too much. You put the key in the ignition when you should not have, and you thought, I could drive home. I threw up, so all the vodka, the vodka sevens and the Red Bull vodkas and the Fireball shots, it's out of my system. I could drive home. Vroom, 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 weep, weep. The cops bring you over, and you know you got to walk the line, but you can't walk. You know what DUIs are? That's your typical DUI. But the 11 a.m. midweek DUI, that's one I want to know about your life, right? That's one where I want to look you up on Facebook, find out who your friends are. I want to know the backstory to the 11 a.m. on a Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday DUI, driving while under the influence. Like, when did you start? Did you start from the night before and you woke up drunk thinking you were sober driving? Or did you start drinking at 7 a.m.? Is this a regular occurrence to you? That's why it has more weight, because the 11 a.m. midweek DUI signifies to me that you are a true, through and through alcoholic. I want to see the mugshot of the 11 a.m. Tuesday DUI. The 2 a.m. Saturday night, Sunday night. I know what your face is going to look like. I want to see how red is your nose. You know, I want to see the, sometimes you could look at a DUI photo and you could, even though you cannot see the guy's hands, you know they're trembling because he's addicted to the alcohol. Not making fun of anybody who is addicted to the sauce. Hey, you know, we all struggle with it a little bit, but there's something that I want to see the journal of your day-to-day life. Right? When you're getting a DUI at 11 a.m. midweek, let me restate that, 11 a.m. midweek, I want you to journal your day, your diet intake, what you're doing each hour, because I want to know, are you drinking on the job or are you drinking before the job? It's probably not wine. Guessing it's probably not wine that you're driving drunk on. It's probably, is it nips? Is it a flask? Is it a bottle? That's how you get the 11 a.m. midweek DUI. It's liquor, and it usually comes in the form of a plastic bottle, usually a lower shelf liquor, probably not, you know, higher end alcohol, because that's the type of person who gets an 11 a.m. midweek DUI. I don't know why that's just, you know, December is, it really is a DUI season. You know it's DUI season when you see those signs on the highway saying drive sober or get pulled over, and then they put, the state will flash how many people have gotten arrested due to DUI this year on whatever specific highway you're on, and or how many people have died in the state because of a drunk driving accident. Just all those, it's conjuring up all those memories of when maybe you got behind the wheel when you should not have. Again, here, we do not advise drunk driving. There is Uber. They have the driverless service now. Like, driving under influence now is, there's really no excuse for it. But you all know that. But December alcohol, it's time for Rumplemintz, right? It's time to break out the bottle of Rumplemintz from the freezer, pour yourself a shot, chug it back. It tastes like a candy cane. I have a friend, an acquaintance, my favorite bar, Lenny's in Wallingford, dive bar. Every December, the guy drinks Rumplemintz, man. He drinks it all year round. Wild to be drinking Rumplemintz straight shots in August and July. But he does it. And we bullshit. I'm a Yankee fan. He's Red Sox. We bullshit. And, you know, he'll buy me a shot of Rumplemintz. And I'm like, all right, man, it's December. Who are you getting in the offseason? Who are we getting? You know what we're getting into now? A good old-fashioned Reddit post. And this brings me back to the days when the B-man was a teenager, early 20s. I've actually still done this into my late 30s. Well, I really have not matured since the age 17. All right, this comes from the subreddit Celeb Battles. Best Face. Minka Kelly versus Kate Upton. Now, I'll put the photos here. I'll put a couple other photos that show their face more. Now, this is only face, not body, not personality. Now, Minka Kelly, the only knowledge of Minka Kelly is that back in the day, 90s, early 2000s, she dated Derek Jeter for a short period of time. Derek Jeter, there is a rumor that he gave half of the Scarlets in Hollywood at that time herpes. I don't know the validity of that record. All I know is Derek Jeter has 5 World Series rings. That matters much more than, actually, I don't know what's more impressive. The 5 World Series rings are, there is this meme on the internet of all the babe celebrities that Derek Jeter's been with, and it feels like first, second, third, catcher, pitcher, and the outfield, and the DH, and that's quite impressive. But so is 5 rings. But this post is not about Derek Jeter. That's how I know Minka Kelly. Did she date Carson Daly, or were they on a TRL show at one point? That's how I know Minka Kelly. Kate Upton, I know her. Or when you mention Kate Upton to me, the B-man, I think of Justin Verlander shooting ropes on Kate Upton's back's back. That's her back, like ejaculation ropes on her back. I looked at that leaked video, and yes, this is a disclaimer. The B-man, when I hear that there is a leaked video of a celebrity, male or female, I will go on to my phone and look up that video and watch that video and then watch it again and again and again for scouting purposes. I know that might be immoral, but hey, sometimes you got to be immoral in life. I'm a hypocrite. I have a moral star, but sometimes when there is a leaked video of a celebrity who's busty, I push my moral compass to the side and open up whatever link that video happens to be on. So that's Kate Upton, Pamela Anderson might have been the first, Paris Hilton, who's that? The sportscaster, sports lady. Can't remember her name. She was brushing her hair topless in a hotel room. It was scrubbed from the internet very quickly, but my boy Mikey got it before it was scrubbed, and I watched it before it was off the internet. All the celebrities, also Paris Hilton, BJ, overrated. I know back in the day that was, oh my God, Paris Hilton gives the best head. I don't like hands with my BJs. I want your mouth all the way on the wiener. Like if you're just sucking the mushroom and then stroking the shaft underneath it, that's a glorified hand job. Don't be stroking my shaft with your mouth on my mushroom telling me that's a blowjob. That is not a blowjob. That is a hand jibber with capped off with a mouth. That is not a blowjob. All right, that has nothing to do with this post. But moving along, I had to take some notes for this one. I usually take notes, try to remember them, and then I spout them out to you, but while not reading them. But for this one, I had to read them because, well, I had to get my thoughts in order. So I numbered everything. You get the idea. So let's start with Minka Kelly, Derek Jeter's ex. Let's refer to her as that. Her face. If you look at Minka Kelly's face, it's oval. Shaped, reminds me of Ovaltine. It kind of has that egg shape to it. If you look at her face long enough, the shape of her face, that kind of long egg-shaped face, reminds me of, what's his name? S.D. Kluger from Santa Claus is Coming to Town. He was it's that old 1973 Christmas special. It's the same year that Frosty the Snowman, all those old time Christmas specials that come out every December on CBS. He is the mailman. The mailman, I believe his name is S.D. Kluger or Kruger. He has that long, elongated face, same as Minka Kelly. So, okay, she has that. She does have, Minka, a deceivingly large forehead. Not as large as that guy from Dawson's Creek. Don't remember the main character's name. You know the guy I'm talking about, though. But it is a large forehead. She does have, though, well-defined cheeks. I'll give her that. Her skin, olive, perfect skin. Perfect skin. Her eyebrows. Eyebrows are big. Eyebrows might be the most common compliment I get on my looks are my eyebrows. And then I always tell people, I work them out at the gym all the time. But no, she's got fabulous, immaculate eyebrows. Makes me think she might have pubic hair of Hollywood lore, Minka Kelly, that being. When you have eyebrows that are that perfectly shaped, if you put that much time into your eyebrows, that means you do pay attention to your body hair, which means She probably, I'm hoping she does not wax. I'm hoping, or like completely bald down there, Minka Kelly. I do hope she does have some type of triangle or landing strip or the number two to represent Derek Jeter in her pubic hair. But again, this is about Minka's face. Now, if you pay attention real closely at her face, you'll notice that Minka Kelly's left eyeball is larger than her right one, and her nose tilts a little bit to the left, which makes me think that when she gets older, when she's an old bag, an old hag, the left side of her face is probably going to be droopy, much more so than her right side. What's that announcer? The WWE announcer, the famous one. Ah, that's gonna kill him. But you know, just a paralyzed left-sided face. She does have a golf ball chin, and her mouth. Minka Kelly's mouth is her best facial feature. It's wide. Her teeth. The gum ratio is perfection. It makes me think she gives a world-class head, neck, a dome, blowjob, sloppy top, whatever frivolous name you have for oral sex. She's got to be, with a mouth like that, that's how you become a Scarlet. She's one of the best. All right. So that's a rundown of Minka Kelly, the positives and the negatives. Now let's move on to Kate Upton. Let's hopefully she's wiped off her back. She cleaned it. It's not sticky anymore. Let me post a photo of Kate Upton's face right here. Let's get into the notes that I had taken. Now, Kate Upton has a much different face than Minka Kelly. Kate Upton has more of a round face. It's more ball-shaped. Personally, the B-man, I have always been drawn to the round faces. I think it's because the babes in my family, my mom and my sisters, have like longer faces, so I like the opposite of that. So I've always liked round, cheeky, like baby fat face, not, you know, baby, like adult fat faces. You get the point. A check against, a negative with Kate Upton, though, is she does have that Cindy Crawford mole or freckle above, like above her top lip and below her nose. That's aggravating to me. If I were to be dating Kate Upton, I would constantly be picking at that mole underneath her nose, and I'd be trying to like dig it out, and I'd go as far to take a razor and just try to, you know, sometimes we take a razor to scrape off some paint. I try to do that with her mole. I would surgically remove her mole with a razor. That's how it's off-putting to me. You can have the perfect face, but that little mole, that little Cindy Crawford mole, that's where my eyes go to, and it's aggravating to me. Enough about that. She has a small mouth. Now, Kate Upton, I just discussed Minka Kelly's perfection. That is her mouth. Kate Upton, her mouth is small. You see a mouth like Kate Upton's, that's that small and puckery. And you just have to assume that she comes from parents who are struggle with alcohol and or drugs. That's where you get a small mouth like that. She's probably subpar, although not bad at giving sloppy top, dome, neck, deep throw, all that debauchery. You know, you look at Kate Upton, and I've always thought her face, she's a modern-day Marilyn Monroe looks-wise. And when I look at her face, I just envision Marilyn Monroe. Am I wrong? Am I the only one who thinks like that? Let me know down in the comments. Her face, you know, you look at the skin of her face, Kate Upton, it's not... It's white. It's not that olive smoothness that Minka Kelly has. It's white. Who likes a white face? And she's got, you can tell with Kate Upton that she has to wear a lot of foundation to hide her blemishes and her freckles and maybe more moles and indents that she has. So she has to rely much more on makeup and foundation than does Minka Kelly, in my not so humble opinion. And her cheeks, although they're not as defined as Minka Kelly's, they're more full. There's, you know, the thing with Minka Kelly's cheeks, like, they're defined, but they there's the cheek and then there's the underneath and then there's the lips. With Kate Upton, the cheeks are there. You know, she's got a little bit of that baby fat. The cheeks are there, and it goes straight from cheek to lip. There's no, like, indention right here, which long-term might actually be beneficial to Kate Upton, because people with those really defined cheekbones where it's cheek, then it droops right here, they tend to get a lot of wrinkles, like, right here all the way down, almost like a frown around their lips. So, you know, that's the B-Man's rundown of Minka Kelly versus Kate Upton's face. Now, who has the hotter face? In a surprising upset, the B-Man says Kate Upton has the better face. Like I said, I like the more round face. Minka Kelly, her face is more elegant, and Kate Upton's face is more slutty. She has a whore face. And now I think Minka Kelly will age better, more like fine wine. And Kate Upton, she's going to look like an old hag very quickly, probably in her early to mid 50s. But that's okay. I'm living for today. Give me the whore. Give me the slut. Give me the girl who takes ropes on her back on camera. And for baseball, you know, major league pitchers. I'm living for today. Carpe diem, as Robin Williams said in Dead Poets Society. The thing is, I look at Kate Upton. I get the vibe from Kate Upton. If she were available and I was a 10, if I was a Chad, like, she'd be down, if she had just met me, to go to the bathroom stall or go to the Walmart parking lot in a Ford F-150 and get it on in the back. She's that kind of gal. And that, like, long term, not great. But again, this is only episode 86, and we're only doing this today. So today, carpe diem, the B-Man. I'm taking Kate Upton over Minka Kelly in a surprising upset. Let's go look at some photos. We're back. I hope all of you 8 viewers of Verbal Graffiti enjoyed watching those photos. In case you were wondering, yes, the B-Man, I take all those photos. And in case you're also wondering, yes, I do refer to myself as the B-Man, even when I am not on camera or on stage. I think it's a bad habit that I refer to myself as my nickname in third person. That's very USC mid-2000s player of me to be doing that. And I don't have a 40 time to be able to refer to myself in third person as my nickname, which might make it seventh person. Okay, we're getting meta here. You gotta judge people. You gotta judge people. I know I brought this up many, many a time here at Verbal Graffiti, but it's finally occurred to me. I was having a conversation recently, and this person was telling me, yeah, I have a positive outlook on life. Immediately, I was like, oh, don't you just despise the type of person who has a positive outlook on life? One of my favorite questions to ask somebody new that I'm just getting to know is, tell me about a coworker you despise and why it is you despise that person. And most of the time, I'll get this response. Oh, I don't hate anybody that I work with. And I look at them dumbfounded because how can you be stuck in an office, or if you're blue collar, you work outside, you're alongside somebody, you're driving with somebody, you know, 7-8 hours a day. You're stuck in a confined space with somebody, not a friend of yours, not a family member, somebody, you're just stuck there with that person because you both need money to survive. That's how capitalism works. How can you enjoy all of those other co-workers' company? When you tell me that, immediately I know you're full of shit, and you're not being truthful to me, and more importantly, you are not being truthful to yourself. That's a bit of a diversion. Back to what I was talking about. I was talking with this person who will remain unnamed, and this person was telling me, oh, I don't judge anybody. And that's, for some reason, that's when all the stars, the constellations, the Big Dipper, the Mini Dipper, they all came together, and it made the picture so clear for me. I believe the reason why in our culture, American culture, the reason why most of us are so hesitant to judge others is because we don't want to be judged ourselves. And if you judge somebody else, that opens up you to be judged. You know, what's that saying? They don't throw rocks at a glass house, or you have a glass jaw. Well, guess what? My last name is Glass. Every house I'm in is the glass house. So I'm thrown regardless because I live in a glass house, so there's nothing I can do about that. But yeah, like, don't be afraid. Just because you're not perfect does not mean you cannot judge other people. We're all born with original sin, so be free to judge somebody on the way they look, or the way their breath smells, or the way they speak, or the way they act, or if they, you know, they leave carts without putting them in the cart, you know, a thing in the grocery store. You just be willing to throw shade at everybody. And don't be fearful of that smoke that comes back to you, because there's a fire department. They'll pull you out of that fire before you die. You won't die of smoke inhalation or whatever the fuck that's called. We need more judge. We need to be more outspoken with our criticisms towards our fellow man. That's the only way we're going to have a more comforting society in which we reside. Well, how about that word salad for all of you? Just be willing to tell somebody, yeah, that haircut, you look like a butch dyke with that haircut. Or, yeah, those jeans, you look like you're trying to look like a 21-year-old and you're 40 years old. Wear a normal pair of jeans. Or hey, you just hit your child and we're at the library. Can you at least try to keep that in private, behind closed doors? Like, if you're slapping your child upside the head in the historical fiction section of our local library, who knows what you're doing in private? So just be willing to call people out for their misdeeds and their misbehavior. And when they go, oh, are you judging me? You look them in the guy and go, yeah, I am judging you. Not because I'm better than you, but because I'm a judgmental person. And being a judgmental person may perhaps make you a better person than the person you are judging. Because if the person you were judging was just judgmental, him or herself, maybe they wouldn't be acting the way they are in public. How about that for a rant? Let's get back to Reddit. Found this one on, let me see if I can find it. Comes from the subreddit Xennials. I think I may reside in that age group. I find them all very confusing. Anyway, this comes from, again, the subreddit Xennials. I had an old person moment today. I opened a brand new pair of socks, the same type and brand I've bought for probably 20 years, it's been a couple, maybe a few years since I last bought these socks. Been there. They were not even close to as thick and fluffy as they used to be. Even my old worn out socks are thicker and more padded than these brand new socks. They are basically see-through, hey now, except for the thin padded bottom part. I was shocked. Then I laughed at myself and thought, geez, did I really just have a back in the day about socks? But seriously, are socks not as cushy as they used to be? I feel you. I feel you. I smell what you're cooking with this one. So much so, I brought I'm a road runner, as many of you may know. I wear a Bottega socks. That's the brand. I believe in them. I'm a big believer in brands. You find a brand you like, you ride with that brand until they prove otherwise. Like this lady here, when your socks become luguri, what's that new word I wear? When you open a new pair of socks and they're lugubrious looking, that's when you give up on the brand of sock that you've been buying for 20 years. But I wear Bottega socks. I asked for a new pair of Bottega socks for Christmas, this upcoming season, Christmas, and I went on the website. I used to be able to get these socks for $12. One pair of Bottega running socks, $25+. $25 for one pair of running socks. It made me queasy to ask for a pair of these socks. That's how expensive they are. So, you know, we all hear about inflation. Bottega socks, an example, $13 to $25. That is an example of inflation today. What you have with your pair of socks, what's the word? It's shrinkflation, I believe is a term. We all know you buy a bag of potato chips. There aren't nearly as many potato chips in that bag as there used to be. So even if it's the same price, they're shrinking the amount that you're getting for the same price. Same thing with the socks. All right, they're cheaping out on the fabric, charging you the same price, and it's not the same product. And I guarantee you, this is what happened. It was either shrinkflation, which you are now a victim of, as are all of us, so we're all crying foul together with this one, or what might have happened is maybe, because this is how capitalism works. This you have a small brand, a small corporation, mom and pop shop, they build a brand. In your example, socks. We all love socks. I cannot watch porn if the babe or the guy is wearing socks in a scene. There's something about that that's very off-putting to me, much more so than if the guy wears a condom. I will immediately look for a new scene to get myself off to because I can't be having sock-worn porn scenes. Same thing with people in real life, real babes. If you have your socks on during intercourse, I will slide them off, even if you tell me not to. Is that sexual assault, taking off a babe's socks when she does not want to? All right, back to the poster here. So this is what happens, right? So this small brand makes socks that are perfect, thickness, they're padded, they're warm, and they build this brand, and they build a reputation on their product, which in this instance is a fantastic socks. And over time, they build a fan base or a buyer base, customer base, that is, and they make wealth. And eventually what happens in any capitalism, a larger corporation, an evil empire, they come and they buy the smaller sock company that makes the great socks because they built up a great brand. They might become a competitor. So instead of making a better socks, they just go buy the brand that has the good socks. But inevitably, that larger brand, they probably get bought out by a private equity firm, which whole purpose of private equity firms is to cut costs. So they cut the fabric, then maybe they cut the hours. Instead of using that organic cotton or wool, they're using some like synthetic wool that, you know, is made third hand in a country that you don't know the name of. And eventually, but they keep the brand name. So if you're not doing your research, you think you're getting that authentic, that brand of sock that built up that great reputation, but it's actually owned by a private equity firm that you don't know, you've never heard of, you don't know where the headquarters is located at. And when you open up those socks, you're like, wait, this is thin, like it's almost see-through. Like what happened to my great, thick, luxurious socks that kept me warm, even when I'm not by the fireside? And then you realize, oh, that's capitalism. It was all about the bottom line. They stopped caring about the customer base because they know we're not going to do research with every pair of socks that we buy. And you got chipped off. And now you got to go find a new brand. And it's just so frustrating. This is why the B-Man, my running sneaker is, it's the New Balance 860. And they fuck up the model every year. And I don't know what it is about Americans. Maybe it's the phone, maybe it was the car companies, but some advertising company, whether it's Apple or Ford or Hyundai, one of these companies, their advertisers convinced us lollipops in America that we need a new model every year. Like, there's no difference between the iPhone 14 and 15. Other than a few other updates, it's a phone. You could text, you could video, you could call, you could do all, there's really nothing new, but it's like, ooh, a new Apple commercial came out. We got to get the new model. You got to spend another $1,200. Anyway, but back, same thing with the New Balance 860. The New Balance, they'll update the model each year. They'll make this one little difference. One year, they made like the rubber a little bit harder, like behind the heel. And then one year, they started using recycled rubber for the sole. And one year, they did something with the, like with the, I don't know, the shoebox. So basically, like within a 5-year period, the 860 that I love, the New Balance 860, is a completely different model. So I'm actually, anytime I go into a running store and I find an older model of the New Balance 860, I will buy at minimum 2 pairs of that model. Because if I know if I like that model, that next year's model is going to be different and I'm probably not going to like it. So I'm going to get as many as the model I can get of the one I like, because I know New Balance is going to fuck it up for all its runners in upcoming seasons. So my advice to you is, next time you find a new brand of sock that you like, that gives you warmth, comfort, stability, enough flexibility between your toes, buy as many pair as you can afford and that you can store in your studio apartment, if that's where you happen to live. That's called shopping smart. One more little tidbit from the B-Man. I actually, wool socks, to me, are overrated. I believe the way to go is the way of the NBA. Now, if you watch an NBA game, watch closely at the socks they wear. You'll notice that all the players in the NBA wear several pairs of socks while playing a game. They'll have at least minimum of 2, sometimes 3 pairs of their white NBA socks on. And I found that instead of wearing a thick pair of wool socks, wearing just 2 like normal pair of nice cotton socks give you more warmth, because there's more compression and it's keeping it all in. It's giving you a little bit more stability, which NBA players need, and that's the way to go. That's multiple pairs of socks. All right, that was a lot of rambling there, but I feel you. The economy's with inflation and shrinkflation, everything's fucked up in the economy. But again, all I know is smut and humor, so I don't know how to Like, I don't know how to solve that. I don't know.
All right.
We're moving on. We're going to continue reading The Salesman's Wife by the great author John Lawrence. Again, we read two pages at a time. If you are reading along, we are on the top. Where are we? We're getting far. Okay. We're on the top of page 39 for all of you who are reading along with us. Pamela held back a gasp of terror, but knew she had to go through with what he said, no matter how much she resisted it. With determination, she began to unbutton her blouse. Carlsberg watched with lusty interest as she slowly removed her blouse and skirt. Within moments, she stood only in her white brassiere and panties, her creamy white skin gleaming, her proud young breast thrust outwards like two shimmering melons. With trembling hands, she removed her brassiere and placed it nearby on a table, fully freeing her firm, wide-set breast to the air. Her skin quivered and tightened, and the little buds of her nipples grew taut and stood out from the dark rings of the surrounding areolas like tiny buttons. "Christ, she's something," Carlsberg mused wickedly. "Just the sort of succulent creature I'd like to sink my prick inside, deep inside, right up to her belly." His cock had begun to throb with life and became erect as the beautiful young brunette slowly began to slide her tight nylon panties down the white, smooth-fleshed expanse of her lips. Slowly, the brief white garment eased down over the tender skin of her thighs and legs until she stepped out of it daintily and placed it with her other clothes. As she turned timidly back to the doctor, her dark triangle of pubic hair glistened as it sprinkled with dew. "Good," he said approvingly. "Very good. You have a beautiful body. Quite beautiful." "Thank you," she said quietly. Pamela's mind was fogged with wine and drug that she felt no fear or anxiety. Her body rippled lightly with waves of pleasure, and she felt she could fly as if she wanted to. The sight of the doctor standing naked in front of her and stroking his hard, stiff cock thrilled her. It was the most wonderful sight she had ever seen. Her face glowed with happiness, and Carlsberg knew that she was his to do with as he pleased. "Better take it slow," he warned himself. "Just in case, she'll be back, and then the sky's the limit. But for now, it's best to take it nice and slow." "Come, Pamela," he said. "Come and touch my body." He took her hands and placed them directly on his cock. At first, she drew back in fear. It was the first time she had ever touched anyone's penis. She was rocked with fear. But this soon faded as her hands grasped the thick, muscular flesh of his hardened tool. To her surprise, she found she liked the rubbery, thick texture in her hand. It was so warm, so big. She began to caress it fondly, lovingly, and then she cupped his large balls as well, reveling in the soft, weighty spheres. Why was I ever afraid before? She wondered, dazedly. This feels so good. It's good to touch his genitals. Good. Go suck a fat one.